flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Tee it up with Dirt and Sprague.
Goff will throw over the middle and it's intercepted. Jeremy Chinn will slide down at the 8 and slide into the NFC Championship game with the Commanders. The third interception thrown by Goff, and the Washington Commanders are going to the NFC Championship.
This is Conference Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Conference Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You can't let the outside distraction distract you from what the main goal is, and that's to win.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, January 21st.
What is happening?
Good morning. Welcome back in.
It's a weird 3-day weekend. Lots to break down. Lots to get to today. Mm. A little overwhelmed. Lots of sports going on.
Felt like Martin really got kind of pushed to the side a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. Martin definitely got pushed to the side. Nobody really paid too much. There was an interview with Kristaps Porzingis that people were wondering, does he know who Martin Luther King Jr. is? I think he does. But
what did he say?
It was just an on-court thing of like, how does it feel to play at MLK Day? And he kind of took a pause and was like, yeah, it's nice to play on a holiday.
Is there any reason that that's a good question to be asking anybody? I heard that on the broadcast. I missed the Porzingis one, but they were like, I asked Steph Curry what it's like or how exciting it is to play on MLK Day. And he said it's second only to Christmas.
Only this is the number two holiday for the NBA. Well, it is kind of a day that they've commandeered other than the national championship ridiculously being played on a Monday night. This is one of their big days of the year.
It usually is.
Yeah.
I would say, however, yesterday, given the political stuff and the sports stuff at night.
Everybody unplugged.
I mean, I don't know. I missed the early games because I went golfing.
I honestly forgot that the NBA was going to be on all day, and then I saw highlights popping up, and I'm like, oh, that's right. The NBA plays games all day on January 20th on MLK Day.
That kind of sums it all up in general.
Commandeered to this holiday.
I forgot the NBA exists.
Look at that. They're on today. I did, yeah, and I was avoiding everything. We turned on a penguin documentary yesterday, watching the little guy in the morning. He's into penguins. You know how they have those things on YouTube TV, your moment of zen before the action
returns?
There's
actual channels channels of that. You can just go to a channel and it just plays Zen for you.
Okay, well, I'm going to go find that channel because there's one where there's penguins standing and the little guy doesn't pay a lot of attention to TV. But whenever the penguins are on TV, he looks and he's interested. He wants to know what's going on there. And so that's what we watched yesterday morning.
I was, I kept checking yesterday. I didn't follow it a whole lot live. I'm just not really all that interested. But I kept looking all of up until about 10:15 last night, and I hate to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
Couldn't find it. Could not find the executive order that Trump signed banning Ohio State from winning a title.
No, that one didn't get signed, unfortunately. Although there is a funny anecdote out of that. Do you know who was claiming a national championship after last night?
Based on the show prior to us, I say Michigan. Michigan sitting here with like four losses, like we're the best team in college football.
And there is a bit of jealousy because at least if you have to watch your biggest rival win a national title, one, you've won, what do they want, four in a row against them, I think?
Yeah.
I think it's four in a row. And they just won a national title last year.
Yes.
So if you're an Ohio State fan, you can't really, you can laugh at everybody else. You can't really laugh at Michigan fan right now because they just won one last year.
And they beat you.
And they beat you four years in a row, even when they're not supposed to be very good. No, there is a metric out there that is awarded my university a national championship out of this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the metric?
Let me go. They have like 20 different things that they use
like
to
least amount of losses means you're the title winner.
I think it's essentially like one of the generated rankings. And my internet's not working right now, so that's cool. But there's one of those like top 25 things,
don't
and they.
Do this.
I'm doing it. Damn it, we're claiming a national title out of this.
You guys
year.
Need to stop doing these.
This
things.
This is the way it used to work, and we beat the team that won the national championship. That's like at least half of a national title.
Not the last time you played him, you didn't.
That's a half of a national title. We got to win over him. Yeah, so it is the final Wolf ratings.
Yeah, everybody follows the Wolf ratings.
Everybody's following the Wolf ratings.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
They are technically recognized
as
a national champion.
Why are you doing this?
In the NCAA football record book. Why don't you put that in your pipe and smoke it, bitch?
You would laugh at every other fan base that you don't like if they did this, and you're sitting here doing it on Tuesday.
Husky's going to claim two of these from 800 years ago, but evidently I can't do it because we decided to go 13-0 in a 12-team playoff and had to play Ohio State, who wouldn't even have been in the 4-team playoff.
I'm not kidding when I tell you I golfed yesterday,
tough.
Me and a buddy, and we're out there and we're having a great time. Like, it's a little windy, a little cold to start the round. And then, you know, you get to about a hole 7-8. The sun's shining. It's not as windy. You start kind of sweating a little bit. Like, this is kind of nice.
It's a nice little sunny day.
And we're talking, and I you know, I said, are you going to watch the game tonight? And being well aware, he's a diehard Duck fan, like, lives and breathes it. He's like, yeah, I love college football.
Yeah.
And I go, man, I hate to ask you this, but is there any part of you that wishes you guys would have lost in the regular season? He goes, without a doubt, yeah. I wish they would have lost the Wisconsin game.
Yeah. And or the Big Ten title game. They would have got a better seating in the playoffs.
I said, I feel so stupid doing that topic on the radio when I did it months ago. But, like, I would have been thinking about that as a fan.
Yep.
Do you want to go undefeated? Absolutely. Who doesn't want to see their team win? And he just interrupts me. He's like, but who was going to go 17-0 or 16-0? And
not
I'm like,
lose a game all year.
That was kind of my position of like, it doesn't seem like it's going to be possible.
Yeah.
I didn't see an ass whooping at the Rose Bowl happening, but, you know, look, hindsight's 20/20.
Should have thrown the Big Ten title game.
Ifs and buts. But
we should have thrown it. We should have given up. Why did we pick off Drew Aller on that last drive? Should have dropped it, given him an easy touchdown. Mm. Here's your 2-point conversion. We'll take your 5 seed in your easier path.
Okay, let me ask
Give me
this.
SMU at Autzen Stadium, and Dan Lanning's got a playoff win.
Let me ask you this. Would you have rather lost to Penn State in the Big Ten title game, or let me counter here, lost to a very mid to bad Wisconsin team, because I think I'd rather take a Badger loss than losing to Penn State.
Well, what does it affect my seeding, though? Because if do I still
Ohio
end up
Ohio State didn't go into the Big Ten title game.
No,
so
they didn't. But if we lose to Wisconsin, we still are likely the number one seed in the tournament, and nothing changes in the playoff bracket if they win the Big Ten. Now, maybe Georgia could have been it, but Georgia had two losses.
Okay, if you could choose a loss, who would it be?
It would have been Penn State. I would have picked Penn
You'd
State.
You would have rather lost to Penn State.
Give me the 5 seed. There was a moment last night. It was hard to watch because I was rooting for Notre Dame, and I wasn't very excited for the game just because I didn't think it was going to be very good. But it's a national title, so you're like, all right, let's turn it on. There is a moment where there's a belief among some Oregon fans that it's just there's a curse on the every time you get close, something bad happens. When's the heartbreak going to come out? And it was just dawning on me last night of like Oregon this year decided to go have their best regular season in the history of the program. Never been 13-0 before. Won the Big Ten their first year in the conference. They beat Ohio State, who was talent-wise the best team in the country, and everybody knew it all year. They beat them head-to-head.
Yeah.
And of all the years to do that, They picked the year where the pathway didn't reward that in any way, shape, or form, and their bonus of going 13-0 was having to play the national champion in their first playoff game.
I don't think they chose to do all that, but
like,
yes.
It literally, if we just move this entire college football season a year ago, like all these teams are the same, so the format was a 4-team playoff, I think Oregon's a national champion today.
You can certainly live with that, Wolfman.
That's not easy to live with, buddy.
You guys had the second biggest loss in the playoff.
Not easy to live with. We were more, get the hell out of here.
You lost by 20.
Get the hell out of here
with that
crap.
The only worst loss was SMU.
Nice that Texas got to play frickin' the Ohio State in Dallas. Get the hell out of here with
that crap. I mean, I'm just saying, you guys had the second biggest margin of
loss. We got a national championship. How's that feel? Feels great, Sprague. Feels great today. Per the Wolf ratings, we're the national champions today.
I can see you're coping well.
Good morning, everybody. My Tuesday is going great. I've been up since 1:30. How's your day going?
Happy belated birthday.
Hey, thank you.
I woke up at 3:30. I thought it was time to get ready to go. Realized I was...
You still got time to go back to sleep?
Yeah, I didn't really do that.
No.
Just kind of laid down.
Doesn't happen.
Fall asleep. I just laid there and spooned my wife and waited for my alarm to piss me off.
Yeah, I've been up since 1:30 with the guy crying, and then by the time 3 o'clock hits, I'm like, you know what? There's no point here. So we're just going to be.
So you didn't get any sleep after the little guy woke up at 1?
Nothing at all.
This is not going to be healthy for you.
No, not at all. And I get to go home and watch him by myself all day. So it's going to be a fun little Tuesday.
Aren't you excited for two of these?
Oh, I'm just jacked, dude.
Wait till little man is.
I can't wait.
Crawling into your bed while the other one is screaming at the top of its lungs. Oh, those are my favorite.
Dude, I
loved those nights.
If him crawling into bed means that he's going to sleep through the entire night, that kid can fart in my face all night if I could get a full night's sleep.
Well, he won't.
Go ahead, pee all over the bed. It does not matter. You do whatever you need, buddy. You climb on in. As long as I'm getting a full night's sleep, you can sleep wherever the hell you want.
Well, that's the point of the second kid. You're not getting a full night's sleep, and he is taking your spot in the bed because he wants to cuddle with your wife.
We had a delightful day yesterday on my birthday, but then nap schedule got out of whack and he was up for like 7.5 straight hours without sleep, and then it just was a terrible night last night.
Was that a dropping of the ball on the parents?
I was solo parenting yesterday.
Oh,
so
the wife worked.
Wife worked yesterday on the birthday, so I didn't have any extra hands around.
Didn't observe the holiday, huh?
She did not observe a company does not appreciate Martin Luther King Jr., evidently. I think we need to call him out for that.
I was talking about your birthday.
Oh, my birthday.
Yeah. That's your one holiday of the year.
It's the only
That's
one I got. No, I'm already forgotten in the birthday pecking order. It's already, it's his birthday's coming up now, a week from today, so that's going to be the big kahuna.
I saw this from Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. 6 straight years now, and this is not breaking news. I think most people probably would have guessed this. The team that's going to have the most NFL draft picks won the national championship.
That's usually how it works, man.
It's the Jimmys and the Joes.
Most talented team wins it almost every year.
But culture's going to win that game. Where's Lou Holtz?
Lou Holtz had a run. At least they made it entertaining in the second half. That 90% of that game was exactly how we thought it was going to go, and then Ohio State just decided to run the ball and not care.
I don't know why I took a random stray yesterday, but we had one of our listeners, somebody just randomly tweeted our show account. The Oregon State idiot host has no empathy.
God, you're an idiot.
Hope he gets duped by Sidney Sweeney.
What?
F Oregon State. They will forever be terrible and irrelevant. Go Notre Dame. You are 1-4 against Oregon State.
Yeah.
So why don't you pipe down?
Yeah, that's not...
playing a conference.
You know. At least it felt good to lose the first playoff game and not have the heartbreak in the national title. Because if they would have been in the national title, they probably would have lost to Ohio State again if the brackets would have been different. And I would have had to travel to Atlanta for that and watch my team lose another national championship game, and that would not have been enjoyable.
That tweet came in right about the time they were down 24 points, so I don't know why the anger got directed at me,
Oregon State
host who's an idiot.
No, mad at your dad, you're not mad at me.
That's kind of what I kind of said as much. I'm so sorry your team lost by double digits, did not cover a spread.
No.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Next year you cover that number, baby. Next year you got a shot at it.
Is that guy that threw the fake punt, is that your quarterback? Maybe next year you'll get him.
Is he the next guy in line for Notre Dame football? Oh, man. It's sad. Sad to see college football go. It was a hell of a year. It's always kind of dawns on me like, that's right. Now we don't get it again until August because the NFL's still going on. So football's not totally done.
Yeah.
College done for a while.
Playing that game on Monday is just the dumbest.
The season ends with a thud
every year.
It's
so stupid.
They drag it out.
There's
no
momentum for it. ESPN's, I don't know if you watched much of the pregame.
I did not see much of the pregame.
I did. My daughter had basketball practice, so I pretty much caught the whole pregame in the first quarter at home, and I don't know. It was a weird vibe. The whole thing. Just so odd. It was a weird day yesterday.
Yeah, it's the calendar and letting it drag out this long to me is a massive mistake.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And then the other one that's the most obvious thing that every radio host in America is going to say today, and it's not a unique opinion, but why are we playing the game on a Monday night?
Yeah.
Why are you playing the national championship game on a Monday night?
I don't know.
That makes literally no sense.
They've been doing it a long time.
For a long time, because there's a bunch of idiots running the sport who don't know what the hell they're doing. And if that's not evident at this point, I don't know how much more evidence you need. Like, you got to speed up the clock. You got to speed up the calendar. And having a drag out to where you're second fiddle to the best weekend of NFL football we've seen all year. Those divisional round games are massive, man. The storylines coming out of them. Every game was great, entertaining, somewhat down to the wire. Like, that was an awesome weekend of NFL football. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Tonight we get a national championship game that'll probably be a blowout.
It just kind of felt like it was in the rear view.
Yes.
And we'll carry it over. We'll get into the title game, and then we'll kind of pivot because it's...
I mean, the NFL was the bigger story this weekend.
It's not even close.
An
NFL Factoid Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm going to get to that at 6:30. We'll kind of dive into the NFL that way. You put a poll question up last night, summoning the effect of, like, what was the biggest takeaway?
I just thought, what was the biggest story of the weekend? Like, what was the biggest one for you?
And look, I can't speak for everybody. I know we've heard from Notre Dame fans. I know we've got college football crazies out there. Given it was Ohio State, I almost wonder if you should have just left him off the poll question and said Scoot's playing well
as an option instead of Ohio State winning a title.
You know, what is the interest? Unless you're bleeding gold or you're a Buckeye randomly living out west, like, what's the interest in the game, really? Most people probably hate both those schools.
Yeah, I think
they're pretty hateable schools for a lot of fans in that sport.
Definitely some of that.
So I know I found myself like, I wanted Notre Dame a little more than Ohio State, but, you know, I had a take they were going to get blown out. And so, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, I kind of called this, and then they come back a little bit, and I don't know. I thought the whole just vibe of the game was weird.
Yeah, that's when you have two programs that there's not an easy rooting interest, it makes it a little more challenging for people.
And like, that's what both of those teams are.
You're going to get that at least one way or the other, hopefully this weekend. Like, you get Bills versus Chiefs this weekend, 98% of the country's rooting for Buffalo. So, you got an easy side to pick in a game.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of Evil Empire versus Evil Empire for a lot of folks.
Yep.
And you get lost in the shuffle, man. This is the way I feel about the NFL when they have the two-week stretch between conference title game and Super Bowl. I hate the break. I hate the layoff. Go play the game the next week.
I agree.
They just do it so they can drag out and have their 4 days of media days and all that crap, and they can't do that if you have the game on the next week because you got to have enough time to practice and get ready to play. But just dragging it out, you lose steam every year that it happens, and hopefully at some point we get somebody in charge of the sport that knows what they're doing and can get the calendar figured out.
Well, it's a loaded show. There is a lot to discuss. Working on the ticker right now, aiming to go to D.C., the nation's capital.
How about those Commanders?
Wow.
How about those Commanders?
We will get into that. We will get into what happened in Kansas City. People are angry. We'll get into what happened to Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Buffalo. We're going to react to all of the divisional round games. I didn't look on my show sheet. I doubt we have time to talk about Oregon State loss to San Francisco.
Yeah, that didn't. Or Oregon losing to Purdue.
Yeah.
That happened on Saturday.
You know what? My team losing on the road after a big Gonzaga win was like the most obvious spot to see.
That was pretty tough.
They don't win on the road.
That was pretty tough.
So let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, we start national championship game next on The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All year about being aggressive. This does not strike me as aggressive. 27-yard try for Mitch Jeter, and it's not a fake. And he hit the left upright. It's no good.
Sean McDonough, ESPN Radio. Yeah, down 31-15 in the fourth quarter with just minutes left. Marcus Freeman on fourth and goal decides to kick a short field goal because, you know, when you're down 16, you definitely got to go down 13.
If you can make a two-score game, you jump at that opportunity.
I don't know if there was more universal reaction of, you deserve that.
Yes.
Screw you. Yep. What are you doing? Only person to my knowledge that's defended that decision is Harry Douglas of ESPN.
What was the theory? What was the argument? Do we know?
People forget Ohio State's goal line defense is the best in the country.
Okay. It's pretty good. Riley Leonard was 27 touchdowns and no interceptions in the red zone this year. By the way, on that drive as well, Notre Dame got two different defensive pass interference or holding calls that gave them automatic first downs. And on a 4th and 9, you don't need to score a touchdown. That's all you need. Yeah. You get a holding call in the secondary, it's half the distance of the goal, not an automatic first down, at which point you can run the football. That was great effort to come back and make it a game in the second half. Thank you for at least a semi-entertaining 20 minutes of football last night. That was one of the worst coaching decisions that I have ever seen.
It absolutely
there's
is.
Not a, there. Like, there's yeah. no there's argument no that you can make the defense kicking a field goal to go down by 13. When your defense, by the way, on the first 5 drives of the game for Ohio State, if Will Howard doesn't miss a wide-open receiver in the end zone, would have scored a touchdown on all 5 drives.
Well, that specific drive, they kick a field goal. If Egbuka doesn't fumble, they're at, like, the 15-yard line, right. And they're probably going to score again,
yes.
And make it, 38-15? Yes. Like, yes. That game was over.
It was over. That was your chance. You had a gift from hell because he gave you a fumble. You had an opportunity, and then you decided to kick a field goal.
Ryan Day. 1-4 versus Michigan, 69-6 versus everyone else. What a weird career at Ohio State for that guy.
What a weird year. What a weird season, man. I think this is one of those things that it took me a while, and you know, we can argue about it. And it certainly hurt my fandom last night watching a team that we beat in the regular season win a national title. I think this is going to become one of those things that we got to start getting used to. Like, you can lose big games now, and there's a 12-team playoff. It doesn't matter. The regular season, all the games are still thrilling. All the games are still entertaining. I still am sucked into it every single week, and I love every moment of it. But this is an example of, what that guy went through the week after losing to Michigan. They were firing him. He was done. Everybody mocked him.
Like, pretty sure I said on the air, would they be mad if they fired him before the playoff?
No, and Ohio State fans would have been thrilled probably if they would have fired him before the playoff.
Would they have won the playoff without Ryan Day?
Probably. Like, if you put Chip Kelly in as head coach and he's calling plays, I'm thinking they're probably still winning a national title.
But Swag's like, probably.
Jim Knowles could probably do it too.
That's a poll question. Would they have won the title if they would have fired Ryan Day after
at the 4.
Yeah. All right, we got a 3rd and 9 game on the line. What's our play call? How about we just throw a jump ball to that guy?
1-on-1 with no safety over the top.
That's going to be an easy completion.
God, what was that defense? He kicked a field goal down 16, and he left Jeremiah Smith in 1-on-1 coverage with no safety.
I think their thought was, let's sell out. We got to stop the run, and we're going to come after him. And
they sent 7, and nobody got there.
But it's just like we do this in the NFL where teams can lose games, and big games, or lose to a horrible – like in the NFL, you can have that Super Bowl champion could lose to the worst team in the league in the regular season. You're like,
six losses and still
– Buffalo lost by 25 to the Ravens.
To the Ravens in the regular season, and then they get him in the playoffs, and they beat him. So I just – it's one of those things that I think we got to start wrapping our head around. Like, that's what college football is going to be now.
I always kind of thought, like, that's where and it doesn't happen often, I was right and Josh Pate was wrong. I'm sorry. The expansion of the playoff, and people feel different ways about it. Like, you may still get the same usual teams that win this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're including more fan bases. There's more interest that way. We're obviously moving to a mini NFL version of the sport anyway. I always thought the notion that, like, you kind of take something away from I always thought that notion was kind of dumb. Ask Oregon fan the day they beat Ohio State. You know, it doesn't really mean as much. You got an expanded playoff. They didn't think that. In the moment, they're like, hell yeah, we won this game. Ask Buckeye fan walking out of Autzen Stadium.
Yep.
Or Buckeye fan losing to Michigan. I don't think in the moment they lost to Michigan, Dirt, they're going, you know, we're still in the playoff.
We'll be okay.
We'll be all right.
Yeah.
In the moment, they're like, they want to burn everything to the ground.
They do.
And so I just, the idea that the expanded playoff was going to take something away from the regular season. I've listened to too much national, like, different cities of sports radio in my life to know that every week in the NFL, these fan bases are psychotic. It's like, fire McDermott in Buffalo. What the hell's Jerry Jones doing? Dan Campbell's too aggressive. Fire this guy. Fire that guy. And that's like after week six.
Yeah.
And it's just like those teams are allowed to lose 6-7 games and get to the playoffs. I always thought the notion that the regular season was going to be hurt by an expanded playoff, I always thought that was dumb. You cannot suddenly lose passion because, oh yeah, you can lose a game or two now. That doesn't matter. When you wait all week for a game, the game means a lot to you.
Yeah, the reaction to it will still be the same. If Ohio State loses in Michigan next year, their fan base will have the same reaction, despite the fact that they just won a national title, and maybe they win another one next year. I don't know. I got to go look through who they have coming back. It was one of those games where the opening drive, it reminded me kind of the Buffalo and Denver wildcard game, where you get that opening touchdown from Denver, from Bo, that long touchdown pass to Troy Franklin, and you're like, man, all right, maybe there's something here. This could be good. Look at that opening drive touchdown. What a way to start the game. And then you look up and it's 31-7. And it just snowballed from there. This came from the award-winning Dusty Hera on Twitter last night. Hell of a stat. Notre Dame went 18 plays, 75 yards, scored on their opening drive. Their next first down came with 6:45 to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, they didn't get a first down until basically
the third quarter was over.
That was kind of my only thing, because we were texting, and I'm like, that was crazy dominant the way they did that. As they noted on the broadcast, Fowler, I think, said it, Leonard at the goal line was a yard short, and he was wobbling getting up, and Fowler's like, you know, they're running him a lot here. And my only thought in the moment was, this is really impressive. I don't know how sustainable this is to just keep running the quarterback dive and hope Riley Leonard gets 4 to 5 every carry.
Not going to happen.
It turns out it wasn't very sustainable. They did make it interesting. I want to play this very quickly because I didn't hear the explanation of the postgame.
Mm.
This was Marcus Freeman and why he decided to kick that field goal.
Yeah, I think it was 4th and 9 or 10. And I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a two-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it. But I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it, and we didn't make it.
We said Ohio State we thought was going to win this game, and they did come back, Notre Dame, and made it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Had some interesting bad calls yesterday as a coach. But again, he had a great year.
Unbelievable year.
Notre Dame has nothing but to feel happiness about what's happening right now over there in South Bend. And we'll see what they are next year without Riley Leonard. But that decision, the fake punt, I mean, who wasn't sitting in the living room going, they're faking this?
Yeah, this is going to be a fake.
Like, I didn't even see that the backup quarterback was in front of the punter. In my mind, I'm like, if I'm Ohio State, I'm running a defense that's ready for that.
Yeah.
Now, the kid dropped the ball, but it didn't work.
It was well defended. I mean, they were all over it.
It was right there on him. So I just, you know, there were a couple moments yesterday where I'm just like, what's going on there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I appreciate the answer of saying that's, you know, I understand the theory of being, you know, scoring 14 is easier than scoring 16. I would have said, coach, you're not going to have a chance to score 14 points the way Ohio State's offense has operated the majority of the night, like, you have maybe one more crack at this. And so you take your shot on 4th and 9, you could get a defensive penalty. And even if you don't get it there, you end up giving them the ball on their own 9-yard line. Maybe you force a quick 3 and out and you get the ball back at midfield. And you can play a little field position game there. Like, missing the field goal just made it a double whammy, even worse decision. I didn't quite comprehend that. And the fake punt one, I'm glad you brought it up, because that was one I yelled the same thing at the TV, like, this is going to be a fake.
He clearly wanted to go for it, and then he, like, acted, he hesitated, and it was just like, this is weird. This, like, feels like a fake.
Why don't you, and then they put the backup quarterback in as, you know, in the punt coverage, yeah, which was obvious tell of that guy's usually not in on punt team, and Ohio State's going to be able to identify that. Those are the ones of, like, when you're going, just go for it. Like, would you rather
That's
have your,
what I thought. Riley
your backup
Leonard.
Quarterback or your starting quarterback right. throw that pass or run that ball? Or, like, I think it was 4th and 3, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it was a shorter yardage throw.
It was 4th and 2.
4th and 2. Thank fourth you. Like, two. Dude, just run Riley Leonard. Find yeah. something there. Like, that. Those ones were, we can be critical of. The reason they lost the game, though, was not coaching decisions. The reason they lost the game is Ohio State's the best team
they
in the country.
They had the best roster in football.
And they've
no
been
doubt.
The best team in the country all year. And yeah. it just took them a long time to figure it out. Not that they had a terrible regular season, but that Michigan loss awoke in something in them of finding their new identity, coming together as a team. And they went on a hell of a run and won the most legitimate national title that we've ever seen, because they had to go through Tennessee, an undefeated Oregon team, Texas in their own backyard in Texas, and then this Cinderella Notre Dame team that kind of came out of nowhere from the other side of the bracket. Mm-hmm. That was a legitimate title run. But the reason Notre Dame lost was because Ohio State just has more horses than them.
I just also, what did you see from your defense all night that said, oh, we go down 13, yeah. we got a shot still? Like, yeah, their defense was getting carved up.
They had to play elite last night, and they could literally couldn't get a stop.
I mean, that's an amazing offense. I'm not trying to bag them. They had a great season. Ohio State was a juggernaut at that point.
And the most telling side of the game that Notre Dame just couldn't simply have, and we talked about it last week, their non-quarterbacks running the ball, their running backs combined for, what would it be, 7 carries for 17 yards.
The non-Riley Leonard.
So Riley Leonard had 17 yeah. carries for 40
Their
yards.
Offense was running. They could know, not run the football. Had a good night, but they couldn't run the football.
No, and them throwing the ball is not a consistent thing that they can lean on, and that showed until the second half.
All right. Well, we'll move on. Let's go to the NFL divisional round weekend games, but NFL Factoid Tuesday is next on The Fan. Well, if all of America wasn't before, all of America now is Andy Dirt Johnson on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Welcome aboard the hate train.
Wow.
We're flowing through this weekend, man.
Boy, oh boy, the narrative of the Kansas City Chiefs, man. They are absolutely despised at this point. If you're a Chiefs fan, you've got to love it. We'll get to the Chiefs-Texans game. We'll talk about Jim
Daniels. Hold on. That's a 15-yard penalty on you. You talked about Mahomes in a negative light. That's a 15-yard penalty. Go back and start the segment over again. That was too negative. Please be more positive. No, that's a 15-yard penalty again. Now it's 2nd and 30.
Okay.
Okay, flag him again. Betting on the Kansas City Chiefs is a thing I'm never going to do again. I know it's smart financially. I felt like I bet on Darth Vader to win at the end of Star Wars. Like, this is not good. I don't want this life.
Technically, Darth Vader won at the end of Star Wars. He killed the Emperor.
Ah, did he? I thought he died. Doesn't he die?
He does die, but he picks up the Emperor.
Don't the good guys win, though?
Throws him down the chute and says, I love you, to his son, and then dies. That was kind of his prophecy.
All right, it's like rooting for the evil Empire, then.
There you go. Strike up the band. Get to some of those Chief things. This one from Kyle Brand of the NFL Network. Rookie quarterbacks to start in a conference championship game and where their team's scoring defense ranked. Brock Purdy, first in scoring defense.
Yep.
Mark Sanchez, third in scoring defense. Joe Flacco, third in scoring defense.
Something in common here.
Ben Roethlisberger, first in scoring defense. Sean King and the Tampa Bay Bucks, third in scoring defense. Jaden Daniels, 18th.
That was, to me, the best stat of the weekend to sum up what he's doing and what he's accomplishing. And fun to remember Sean King. I forgot that Sean King got there as a rookie in
Tampa. I was a believer in Sean King. I
was, too.
I really talked myself into that being a franchise quarterback.
I mean, let him in the NFC title game. Not really, but he was there. He was along for the ride with that defense to get to an NFC title game.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, remarkable. He is... You run out of things to say about Jaden Daniels, and I keep doubting, hey, rookie quarterback, when's the wall going to hit? He's got to go on the road to Detroit. I'm going to keep doubting that guy. He's going to go win a Super Bowl probably in a couple of weeks.
Jaden Daniels, this might be just as amazing as the stat I just read. Jaden Daniels was 12 for 16 for 191 yards and a touchdown versus the Detroit Blitz.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Last time I checked, pretty good numbers there.
Road teams in the playoffs, 0-8. The Commanders, 2-0.
They're the only ones that did it. The only ones, man.
God, they're great.
I
hate that name. If that name was anything else, it'd be so much better, but it's such
What's
a good
story. What's the one with the, is it the Red Tails?
The Red Tails.
Red Hogs.
I still think they should be the Washington football team, if you want me to be honest with you. I loved it.
That was one of my bigger takeaways of the weekend is them. Their story is really cool. It's incredible. Like all the new pieces, the new owner, the new quarterback. Like, oh my God, they haven't done this in 30, even forever.
Those fans have to feel so good right now.
It's watered down for me because of how bad their name is.
I agree.
Like it takes away from them being an NFC title game.
Should they embrace, you know, being in D.C. and just be the Department of Football?
The Department of Football?
That'd be great.
DOF. Yeah. Here comes the DOF at you.
The Fighting Mustangs went 1-0 starting their season this weekend.
Oh, look at you.
You know the team name? The team we played? We did the, you know, good game, whatever. Yeah. Is it Coach, what's
2-4-6-8.
She goes, we're the Dunkin' Donuts.
The Dunkin' Donuts.
I said, God, that's a great name.
That's really good.
It's rec league basketball. Exactly. We're going to have fun with this.
You go get your Dunkin' Donut tracksuit if you're a coach. I'd totally go buy one of those from the Damon and Dunkin' Donut ads.
Get your pink shades.
Yeah.
Prior to Sunday, Ravens tight end Mark Andrews hadn't dropped a pass in a game since week 6.
I was going to do that as a poll question, too. Did anybody have a worse? Who had the worst weekend? Had to have been Mark Andrews, right?
I think from the narrative, Lamar.
Lamar.
I mean, look,
who would the other candidates be? Dan Campbell maybe losing as a one seed?
The Lions.
Jared Goff did not have
Jared
game.
Goff Jared probably Goff. Taking the credit there.
He had 4 turnovers.
Who'd be a fourth?
Jameson Williams should be in there.
The Rams defense.
What are we doing?
He humped the ground and he threw the worst pass I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, Rams rush defense, not being able to get a stop. I feel so bad for guys when they have moments like that.
Mark Andrews has been such a great player. Yes. Just stomach dropped. I also wanted the Ravens, but the Bills had a great win. Lamar Jackson didn't have a single game with multiple giveaways until Sunday.
Hurts the narrative, man. It hurts the narrative.
It
and
really
that's
did.
Where everybody's running with today. See, your guy can't win the big one.
The Chiefs roll onto their 7th straight AFC Championship game with their win Saturday. It was their 12th win by single digits this season, which is the most by any team in a single season. They're conference championship game shy of tying the Patriots for consecutive conference championship game appearances at 8.
Look, I thank them for covering the spread and winning me a bet for spreading the line. I've had a really rough year, so thank you to that. Thankfully, I didn't have it at 9.5. I had it at 8.5, so the running out of the end zone
safety
didn't
affect me at the end. I also got it at 8.5. Felt dirty.
And I've told myself out of that game, I'm never going to do it again. I can't root for them. I was rooting for my bet to lose the entire game.
You don't bet against
and
them.
And I'm going to bet against them this weekend, and I'm going to do it after they beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. I don't care who they play.
Who was the last quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead?
Joe Burrow? In the regular season or playoffs?
In general.
Did they lose a home game this year?
What's your guess?
Joe Burrow.
Aiden O'Connell.
Is that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, the December game.
Good luck betting against him. Good luck.
I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet against him. We're going to lose money, but I'm going to do it.
You against Mahomes and the Zebras?
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't winning that game. CBS Sports says there's been 280 turnovers in the NFL since week 12. The Chiefs have committed 0 of them.
Yeah, it's a good way to win when you don't turn the football over and you play good defense, and that's what they do every week.
Jalen Carter, according to Next Gen Stats, played 68 of the 70 defensive snaps and was double-teamed 26 of his 49 pass rushes. God, he's good.
That guy falling down to number 9. Remarkable in the draft.
You want
to
feel old? You want to feel old lady in the Titanic boat old? It's been 14 years since we haven't had either Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in the AFC title game. How old are you?
Just turned 36.
14 years. That is insane.
Senior in college, the last time one of those guys wasn't in an AFC title game.
No quarterback and coach have lost 4 playoff matchups to another quarterback and coach ever. No. Josh Allen, Sean McDermott are looking to avoid history Sunday.
Well, it's a good thing the Bills don't have a history losing 4 in a row of big football games. It's a really good thing that's not a part of their football history.
Final one, and we got to get going. Saquon Barkley had 296 rushing yards versus the Commanders this season. That's the most by a single player versus any opponent this year. He also became the first player in NFL history with 200-plus scrimmage yards in the regular season and in the playoffs versus the same opponent.
Yeah.
He had four runs of 60-plus yards, which tied the record for most in a year.
It's pretty good.
Four of them came against the Rams.
Yeah, what did he go for in the regular season? He was over two bills, I know, in the regular season game when they beat him.
250 or something like that.
Lit him up again this weekend, lit him up again on Sunday.
Absolute insanity.
He's got their number, man. It was funny, too, to see the NFC North after the entire conversation
about
how good that division was all year, not win a single playoff game. And it's the NFC East in the NFC title game.
That's crazy. All right, a shorter NFL Factoid Tuesday. Let's dive into it. Division around weekend was fantastic. Let's get it going next on The Fan. There's Kevin Harlan, Westwood 1 on the call. I've come to the conclusion, because I also bet Kansas City minus the 8.5 and felt a little dirty that they covered that number. There are two plays for me that kind of sum up my feelings on Mahomes, because this isn't about like how good is he really. Like, we all know what it is.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
You wouldn't take anybody over him. You may think like, oh, that guy. Yeah, there's some great ones, no doubt. The sideline run where he stops and then flops to sell like a roughing the passer penalty, or not roughing the passer, but you know, out
personal
of bounds,
foul, personal foul, unnecessary roughness. Yeah.
I'm sitting watching this, going, "Are you effing kidding? God, stop it! I hate him."
Yeah.
And literally the next play, as he's going to the ground, all the way fully extended, diving head into the ground.
Insane throw.
Throws a dart to Travis Kelce, who's, by the way, breaking news to the Houston Texans. You know Travis Kelce's on the team, right?
Might want to guard that guy in a playoff game.
I mean, it's the most obvious thing.
The only weapon
to show up and have a big game, and nobody's within 10 yards of him ever. But that kind of summed up my feeling as Mahomes. I'm like, damn it, man. Stop with this. It's kind of floppy-ish.
Yes.
Also, oh my God, you're so incredible.
That's why it's almost even more frustrating that he does those antics. That's embarrassing for an NFL quarterback to do. It genuinely is. And I get that he's not the only one that flops.
Josh Allen does this a little bit,
guys
too.
Guys get pushed and they fall down. There has been something about him, and I know this will piss off Chiefs fans, but you're going to win another Super Bowl, okay? So my opinion doesn't matter to you. You're going to win a third straight title, okay? Don't get angry with me. You're going to be happy in a couple of weeks. This all started when they lost. I think it was to Buffalo in the regular season last year.
Yes.
And him after the game and the handshake line, which that's yelling the whole time.
Because they had the
penalty called on
them.
Complaining and bitching because they had a penalty called on them that took back a touchdown that would have won them the game. And it's like, dude, you just won a Super Bowl. You've been into every AFC championship game since you came into the NFL. Like, cry me a river, man. Like, at some point, things aren't going to go your way. And to have that moment and the way he acted, that was when the downfall. I already don't like teams that just win every year. I get tired of them, and I want to see somebody new. So I was already trending in that direction. Then he did that. Then they won the damn Super Bowl again.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even that play, because the one that happened before, I was screaming at my television when he flopped out of bounds and threw a touchdown pass the very next play. It was the one where he was like dancing around and refusing to go out of bounds when he's running the ball, and then slides at the millisecond last second. And a Texans defender comes in, barely grazes him, 15-yard flag. They had it on the opening drive of the game that led to Kansas City.
Is that the one where they collide with each other?
Where they basically collided with each other. And he was just like dancing around, like 4 yards down the field. He could have easily gone out of bounds and protected himself, but he doesn't want to, because he knows if he slides late and somebody breathes on him, he's going to get a 15-yard flag. Like, there's a lot of metrics out there that say Kansas City doesn't always get the benefit of the whistle, that there are other teams who have gotten more first downs via penalty than them. Like, I'm not saying that every game that they win is because of officiating. What I am saying is he is officiated in a way that no other quarterback is, and it's insufferable to watch as a fan.
Look, Lamar had two turnovers. The hit Lamar took in Buffalo on the sidelines, where he was dragged on the sidelines, clearly past even the white, and tackled, and nothing.
If that's Mahomes, they're kicking you out of the game. You're suspended for a year from the NFL.
The metrics, Josh Dubow of the AP actually had this because people were pissed off. And basically the penalty against yardage says the Chiefs don't actually have the advantage. What I would say, and I want to highlight something else here before we go to the second hour, it's the when does the flag happen? So for me, it's the two rough in the passer penalties. We should try to find that. I'll try to find the Troy Aikman call, because on the broadcast,
he was livid. That was great to hear.
Oh, come on.
What are we doing?
Even Aikman was thinking what everybody. But it's when it's 3rd and 15 and the Chiefs don't convert, and you see a flag, what do you think is happening?
Immediately, it's a flag on somebody touching Patrick Mahomes, and it's going to be an automatic first down.
First down. And so, like, the stats say they don't get the advantage, but everybody that's not a Chiefs fan has a similar feel. Now, let me also counter that point. when you want to beat that team, you have to hit the key spots.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple plays I could highlight in this one, okay? Not only Houston special teams just completely letting them down on kickoff coverage, missed extra points, missed field goals by Fairbairn. There was a deep pass thrown to Hollywood Brown. It looked like he caught it on the replay. It was incomplete. The Texan DB has it in the breadbasket, rolls over. It's in his lap. He drops the pass somehow. You know what happened the next play? Kelsey, 47 yards. Fourth and 10. Game, your play clock's winding down. There's 3 seconds. You're going for it. You have 3 timeouts. No timeout called. Call, hike it, rush play. What happens?
Sack.
Chiefs defense gets to Stroud.
Yep.
Sack, turnover on down. You have to capitalize on your moments against that team. You can hate it and say they get the official flags at the pivotal spots all you want. I also know, as a guy who watched his team lose to them in 2 Super Bowls,
you can't give them those chances.
You cannot give them chances, and they are the best at it. Like, what was the big takeaway from divisional round? I think of the 4 games. This one was the one that was excluded from it. The other 3 teams that lost, why did they lose? They lost the turnover battle.
Yeah.
You cannot turn the football over in the playoffs. Breaking news, those teams make you pay for it at this point of the season. There were no turnovers in this game, but there was a turnover on downs. There was a lack of a turnover created by their defense. You want to beat the juggernaut of the Chiefs? You can scream and cry about the officials, and at some points, I'm kind of with people on it. But you got to take advantage of your moments, and when you don't, that team is the very best, maybe in my life, of maybe showing you big mistake, because you're not going to be able to stop it.
The Texans became the 55th team since 1991 to outgain their opponent by 100 yards, commit 0 turnovers in the first 3 quarters of a playoff game, and be trailing. Then they followed that up with being the first team in the history of the NFL to outgain their opponents for an entire game by 100-plus yards, 336 to 212, not turn the football over, and lose the game. Previous teams were 49-0 in the playoffs.
Kind of my point.
This is where I think sometimes these debates kind of get into the weeds, and we lose sight of things. Like, the calls are egregious and I can't stand it. Mahomes is a flopper. It makes him look like a bitch, and I want him to stop because he's an incredibly talented player, and that sequence of events proved it. He made one of the most insane touchdown passes that he's made his entire career when he's falling. His face is basically on the ground.
He's falling.
And he throws a seed 20. Like, dude, nobody, like, that's insanity.
Yeah.
The play before you flopped, he didn't need to do that. Stop making a mockery of the game. Both things can be true at the same time. The Texans shot themselves in the foot. That's why they lost. The way Mahomes is officiated is ridiculous, and the NFL needs to get a handle on it. Both things can be true. The officiating was not the reason Kansas City won the game. Of course, it has a certain impact when you give them an automatic first down on third and long instead of making them punt early in the game. But at the end of the day, the Texans have nobody to blame but themselves, because they had it's opening kickoff of the game. They give up a huge return, and you got a player shoving a coach on the field and throwing his helmet, and you hand him 3 points like that. Your defense got to stop, too. That would have been a 3 and out on their opening drive, and you would have got the ball at midfield, but you gave up the big kickoff return. They got nobody to blame but themselves.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We may get that Aikman audio, the oh, come on the roughing the passer penalty.
Come on.
A question on the roughing the passer with the NFL that I have going forward with conference championship weekend and all of the other divisional round matchups to talk about. Loaded second hour of the program next on The Fan.